Coming up, the dominance of guys in the field of computer coding may be getting a challenge. We will look at some nationwide social networks dedicated to connecting women who know how to code with women who want to learn to code or do it better without getting hit on by techie guys or dismissed as a lightweight. More stories of the pitfalls of Penelope, the 21st century coder. But to give you a sense of the new voices of tech already in the pipeline, 17-year-old Nikita Rao is an 11th grader at Bronx High School of Science who participated in a program called Girls Who Code last summer, and she's already thinking about startups.
Girls Who Code was an 8-week program over the summer of 2012 where we spent about 8 hours a day learning programming concepts and how to program on computers. And we also got to visit a lot of different companies, and we spent each week learning a different programming language. And we spent one doing Python, another learning HTML to build websites, and another to learn App Inventor for Android app development. So after Girls Who Code, they helped me recognize that I want to pursue computer science in the future. And so I decided to take the AP Java class offered at my school.
And you got any companies in mind, any plans, big plans after college?
Well, I really want to be a head of a business or a company. But for now, I'm thinking I really enjoyed visiting the Twitter headquarters in New York City. And I think I want to pursue a job there, hopefully.
Are there too many guys out there in the computer coding world?
I think right now, yeah, there are a lot of guys, even in my computer coding class. But I think in the future, there will be a lot more girls in the tech field just because of programs like Girls Who Code, which are encouraging us to get involved.
Nikita Rao is a 17-year-old 11th grader at Bronx High School of Science right here in New York City, participated in the educational program Girls Who Code last summer. Nikita, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So you show up at a tech meetup to get some tips on how to be a better computer coder, and uh-oh, it's like you're totally different from everyone else.
So look around. All these people, all men, plus me. So I was like, cool, whatever. I majored in physics. I can handle it. No big deal. I like sports. I'm used to this. And so it didn't bother me until I started talking to people after the event. And again, this is not just this one event. This is every event, every time. And I would go up and meet people, and I would expect to be treated like a peer, like an equal, like someone who was there for a real reason, and get questions like, oh, what'd you think of the talk? Like, what kind of things do you build? You know, I expected questions like that. And instead I got, what brings you here? Are you a recruiter? No, I'm not a recruiter. I just have earrings on. Thank you. So,
That's Sasha Landy, and yes, she majored in physics and is a skilled coder, but she founded an organization called Women Who Code in San Francisco back in 2011 because she believes women need to be more involved in the tech world and because she just wants to work with more people like her, geeky, high-tech women. The Computing Research Association's most recent survey shows that in 2010, just 13.4% of degrees in computer science and computer engineering in the United States and Canada were awarded to women. In Silicon Valley, it's estimated that only 10% of the startups out there are founded by women. Jessica Lawrence is part of this tech sisterhood. She's executive director of New York Tech Meetup, a group that trains young women to be coders. Jessica, welcome.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
Do you get a sense of resonance from that story from Sasha, the idea that you don't get treated as a peer if you're interacting in this kind of techie coding culture with all men?
I think on the whole, yes. I mean, it's a story that we hear frequently. It's a story that surprises people because I think for the most part, a lot of women and men both think that women have come into the workforce in such full force in every area that there aren't any issues anymore with sexual harassment, with simply being left out or treated differently. But in the tech industry, there are still definitely challenges with that.
But there is, you know, this intuitive sense that men and women speak different languages on some level. It's quite literally the case with coding, where you have lots and lots of men who can do Python and Django and women who are really catching up. The meetup that I played that little clip from is a room filled with very excited women, definitely getting involved. What you're doing is really a movement here, right?
Definitely. There are groups of women all over the country that are deciding that they want to get in on this. They want to learn how to code. They don't want to be left out anymore. And the groups are getting together not only to support each other, but to educate each other as well.
You know, one of the things that we described or we heard described in doing some research for this segment is that from a woman's perspective, men in this code priesthood are difficult to talk to. You kind of have to impress them right out of the bat. But women say that the natural, innate sort of sense of flexibility of women makes them better team collaborators on tech projects of all kinds.
I think what the research shows is that when you have a diverse team, whether it's in coding or any other place in the workforce, you end up with better results. And I think companies like Etsy have looked at their customer base, for instance, and realized that 80% of their customers are women. But at least a couple of years ago, they only had 3% of their engineering workforce were women. And so they looked at that and said, we need to fix that. If we diversify our workforce, our engineering force, we'll end up with better products and a more successful company.
Describe some of the meetups that you've organized and the influences and changes that you suspect you may be responsible for and others like you around the country.
I think one of the biggest problems around women in tech is that there's low visibility. So you have this sort of cyclical issue of men being typically picked to speak at conferences or present at conferences, men being picked for top 40 under 40 lists and those types of things. And so when people go to build the speaker roster for another conference, they tend to look at who else has been picked in the past, and that group is typically men. So you get this cyclical issue of people not seeing women in tech. So one of the things that we've tried to do is highlight the number of women who really are in the technology industry and give them opportunities to take the stage to talk about what they're building.
And there's also a problem where now, oh, if we need a woman, we'll just get Marissa Mayer from Yahoo. That's all we need. And that is equally damaging.
Right. I think it's important that we show a diversity of women involved in the tech industry. We have women that may lead tech companies but not actually know how to code themselves, but they're still part of the tech industry. And then we have women who are incredibly technical and know how to code just as well as the men who are in the industry.
Are you fluent in Python?
I am not fluent in Python. I am one of those people who is part of the tech industry but am in the process of learning how to code and am not quite there yet.
How does this crowdsource model of meetups work as a way of aggregating talent, outside of maybe schools or classes or other sort of more traditional models for getting people together?
I think one of the things that Meetup does is it really empowers individuals to take action and take things into their own hands. They don't have to wait for someone's permission or someone to set up a program for them. They can step out on their own and say, I care about this issue. I care about women in tech. I care about learning how to code, and I want to find other women who are interested as well.
When you hear that the 17-year-old up at Bronx Science who did this program that's sponsored by the tech industry called Girls Who Code, when you hear her talking about designing apps, what excites you most about knowing that young women like her are in the pipeline?
I think it's exciting to see that we'll have more diversity come out of that. We'll see impact in the products that are built and the way that our economy functions. I've seen young girls have this light bulb go off that the world around them is designed and engineered. And once they realize that they don't have to be Einstein and they don't have to be a boy to design those things, it changes everything.
Do you see design changes in the way products are marketed and built because of this culture of more women coding?
I think it's slowly starting to change. I think as we've looked at everything from medical research to how physical products are built, I think there is an influence as we get more and more women into these fields, but I think it needs to change even more. I mean, you even look at how boys and girls' toys are marketed, and you see that when you walk into a big box store, there's a definitive line and aisle of girls' toys and a definitive line and aisle of boys' toys. And oftentimes the girls' toys don't include anything for girls to build or make or tinker with, and I think that that needs to change.
Did you hear that joke a moment ago where Sasha Landy was saying, I know physics, I know sports. Do you think there'll be a time soon when that won't be a joke, when that won't get a laugh, when it just won't make any sense anymore?
Absolutely. I mean, I hope that in a way that the work that we're doing becomes obsolete incredibly quickly because we do close that gender gap.
And how many women do you think you've had an impact on already?
I think across the country, all of us working together, we've had an impact on thousands and thousands of women.
Jessica Lawrence is the executive director of New York Tech Meetup. Jessica, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, John.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.